Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to the Dom Harvey Podcast, brought to you by Generate KiwiSaver and Radix Nutrition. Coming up, Shaz Dagg.
I love who I am. I'm proud of myself. Yeah, it's the first time I've probably even said that, Dom. You know? Jesus, you're a prick. You're really making me
I've done nothing.
You know, I can honestly say I'm proud of myself, and that's the first time I've said that.
Yeah, Sharon Dagg, known to her friends as Shaz, is a phenomenal woman whose tale of resilience is going to leave you awestruck. 5 years ago, Shaz had her left arm amputated after suffering a horrific farm accident. But it's what she's achieved since the amputation that's inspiring. Coast to coast, anybody? Her story of pain, transformation, and victory will make you rethink the meaning of limitations. Shaz's determination is truly contagious. This conversation, by the way, was only possible because of my incredible sponsors. The input from Radix and Generate allowed me to fly Shaz up for the Manawatu just for this chat. Generate, by the way, is an award-winning, New Zealand-owned and operated KiwiSaver provider with a track record of strong, long-term performance. I switched over to Generate a few weeks ago and it could not have been easier. The advisors are great and they will dumb down the chat for you if they need to. For me, there was a lot of dumbing down, a considerable amount of dumbing down. And Radix Nutrition, this is a tight, dedicated, hardworking, focused team who make incredible products from their factory in the Waikato, including the best protein powder I've ever tasted. Honestly, the banana flavour tastes like Zap that I used to have in those little cartons growing up. Chances are you're not getting enough protein in your diet, and the easiest way to fix that is to have a protein shake every damn day. If you like the podcast, the best thing you could do would be to consider supporting these guys. Generatewealth.co.nz and radixnutrition.co.nz. Radix spelled R-A-D-I-X. Thank you so much, Generate and Radix. All right, let's get into it. Shaz Dagg on the Dom Harvey Podcast. Enjoy.
Thanks, mate. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So Sharon Dagg is your name, but you're better known as Shaz Dagg. Also Limitless. Limitless.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, and it's great to have you here. So how long you been Shaz? Is this like a nickname that's followed you around through life?
Yeah, I've been Shaz for a few years now. Just a few mates started calling me that and it's just sort of stuck, you know. So, I only get called Sharon now when my mother tells me off. So, yeah, it's just sort of stuck, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. And what about Limitless?
Okay, Limitless. Wow, that was so cool. The team down at the Wellington Limb Centre came up with that one day. They knew what I was sort of going to be starting to get into and what I was going to get up to and try and attempt. And they came up one day. I went down there for an appointment and they came up and said, "We've found a name for you, Shaz." So, I thought it was pretty, pretty cool, actually. Darn cool, eh?
I like it. It's a good play on words.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Hey, by the way, you seem very nervous all of a sudden. I picked you up. I booked you a flight. I picked you up from the airport. I think you called me dumbass about three times on the ride into town. Now you seem nervous all of a sudden.
Oh, well, I don't know what you're going to bloody ask me for a starter, Dom, but come on, man.
Well, it's your story and it's a hell of a story and I think it's inspirational. And the adversity you've been through, it's something that one thing I've learned on this podcast, Jenny Shaz, is that everyone, even people that you least expect it from, have some sort of adversity that they're dealing with.
Absolutely.
So when you meet someone like you that's been through a whole lot of stuff, especially at this age and stage of life, like
what are you trying to say about stage and age?
Middle age.
That's all right. You're lucky. You're lucky.
It just lets other people know, well, the shit that I'm dealing with right now, if Sharon can get through this, then I can get through whatever I'm going through. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
So you got nothing to worry about, although there are some very big questions.
Okay.
No, there's not. Okay, so I think to paint a picture of, you know, who you are now and what you've been through, we should go right back to the beginning. So tell us about Shaz, like pre-accident. You were quite fit beforehand, eh? You did some events and things?
I used to dabble around, you know, and I loved my sport. Always loved my sport from a young kid. But I used to dabble around in a little bit of running and a little bit of cycling, and that was about it.
Like what sort of distance runs?
Oh, yeah, I'd never done anything more than a 10K or a half marathon, you know. And I was never ever the best or anything like that up there at the top. It was just more about keeping active, you know, and being in with my mates. We were pretty active mates, you know, and just done a lot of stuff together. But nothing major at all.
Yeah. And in terms of your like personality and mindset, like pre-accident, did you just have that sort of grit and determination?
I don't think it was nowhere near as what it is now. I think it was just go with the flow and have a good time before. Whereas now it's like, you know what? You can do better. And that's what I enjoy about it. This journey is just about doing stuff for me, but hopefully encouraging others. And that's been my motto the whole time, that all I've wanted to do is if people can see me out there doing it, hopefully it'll give them a bit of encouragement, you know?
Yeah, you sort of think, well, what's my excuse?
Exactly. Hey. You know, well, hey, if she can do it, that one-winged old chook can do it. There's no reason why I can't. So, yeah, it's more around about that. That was my whole idea of wanting to sort of do these sort of activities, was to try and push awareness that, you know, just because we're challenged doesn't mean to say we can't still succeed.
Mm. Yeah. I get the feeling you would have always been a stubborn fucker, though, even pre-accident.
Oh, I've been a stubborn bitch all my life. Yeah. Ask my husband for one. You know, he'll tell you that.
Yeah, you can't be that stubborn, though. He's stuck around. You haven't scared him off.
Look, honestly, I would not have been able to do half of what I've done if it wasn't for Owen. You know, he's a pretty cool, supportive dude.
Yeah.
Very, very lucky to have him by my side. Yeah.
By the way, from our dealings, getting this podcast off the ground, you're one of those nauseating couples that have a joined email address.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, it was, you know, back in the day when you first got your email, everybody says, "What do you do?" Oh, you just put your names down. So it was like Owen and Sharon, you know, and it's like, wish now I could change it to Owen and Shaz, or, you know, but that's what you've done. Everybody done it, and we've never changed it.
No, I like that. And what about even earlier, speaking of your, you know, pre-accident and your stubbornness? So I heard one podcast you did, and did you have like a falling out with your parents and you got shipped off to family farm or something?
I did.
Were you a real piece of work?
Yeah, I was. I was a real bitch. I gave my parents a hard time.
In what way? Was it fairly standard sort of teenage stuff?
I was a bit of a rebellion and bit of trouble, you know, got myself into a bit of trouble and that. But I was, you know, so lucky. I had an auntie and uncle in the manor too that lived on a farm, and they said, "Shaz, come and live with us." And I've never looked back.
Yeah, so you were sort of born and raised in Taupo area,
yep,
and then
sure.
Shipped to the family farm near Ohakia.
That's correct.
Air base. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you've done your homework.
Yeah, I have. I picked up on this because I've never heard you elaborate on it. But like, what sort of stuff? Just cheeky, standard, naughty stuff,
no,
or real?
I got into a bit of trouble.
Oh, like what sort of age? Like 14, 15?
Yeah, I was about 15. Yeah. Yeah, so
a real chance of you going off the rails at that point.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And that's when my auntie and uncle came along, and yeah, best thing that could have ever happened to me, just being down on the farm, out in the open, you know, learning different stuff, just working on the farm. Absolutely loved it. Changed my life for the right direction. Yeah. You know, yeah, I was a bitch. I was an absolute bloody. I was a right madam, eh?
But you say that now, and it's like you obviously had you're obviously a good person yourself, and you obviously had like good family networks and supports. You think of like the Ram Raiders and the crimes that are going on now at the same sort of age, that youth level, and the police take them back home, and the families, for the most part, don't care.
I had a great, you know, family network around me once I got down here to the Manawatu. I'm the middle child, you know, the black sheep, shall we say, obviously, and, you know, I've got a older brother and a couple of years older than me. He's done extremely well in life. I've got a younger sister. She's done extremely well in life, but I've sort of done nothing to there, you know.
Well, what have they done?
Oh, my brother's got an amazing super upholstery business over in Australia that he started. Mm-hmm. My sister's done extremely well in the nursing sector, and she's doing extremely well, yeah. And I'm proud of them both, don't get me wrong. But we don't have a close relationship. I just sort of stay clear and just do my own thing. I just find it's easier to be me.
So you're not particularly close with your family. Is that like a result of like your misadventure as a teenager?
No, I think it's more my choice. You know, different things have happened over the years.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, I'm sick and fucking tired of my parents not listening or believe. I felt that they didn't believe in me. So it was just easier just to pull away, live my own life. And you know what? It's been great. It's been absolutely fantastic. I mean, I still have contact with my mother. You know, she's in a rest home at the moment, going through a real hard time with the old cancer stuff. So, yeah, you know, like if once a month we try and get up there to Taupo and see her. And, you know, I just saw her last week. We always make a point of popping in, you know.
How old is she now? Like 80-ish?
Yeah, she must be 80, 85-ish now. Right, I don't sort of keep track. You know, I don't like to think of the years. Because we're only as old as we feel, aren't we? You know, and I feel like I'm 21, not bloody, you know, 57. So, we keep in contact. Yeah.
Okay. For some comparison, what are words that people would have used to describe you before losing your arm and now after?
I don't really know. Probably just, you know, pig-headed, stubborn.
Yeah. Is this before and after? Same word. Yeah. It's quite funny, eh? Because it's I've been reading a book about this, and I reckon, and I've thought about this a lot with different people I've had on the podcast, famous people and non-famous people, but there's two sort of mindsets. You have like a fixed mindset or a growth mindset.
Yeah.
And you can go from having a fixed mindset and change that to a growth mindset at any time. So say you pre-accident, if you had a fixed mindset, you can lose your arm and then change it to a growth mindset. But if you've had a growth mindset all along and then something like this happens, you're probably going to have a growth mindset afterwards as well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I agree. I think I've more got the growth now.
Yeah. But it's always sort of been there or no?
I think it probably has, Don. Yeah. Yeah, you know, to be honest, it probably has, but I've never really thought about it until, you know, you've just sort of said it. You're probably right, you know. So I think I have got the growth, now.
You definitely do now. The 100%, there's no question about it.
And I think you're right, I have changed. Mm. The mindset has changed for sure. But, yeah, and like you say, I hadn't even thought about it, Dom, in that way until you've mentioned it.
So December 2016, that's when the accident happened with the farm gate. So that's how old were you at the time? Like 50?
Must have been 51, 52. Yeah. Must have been 52. Yeah. Just a freak accident, mate. Yeah.
Yeah. What was that something to do with a gate on a goat farm?
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got a mate that started a goat farm down in the Manawatu. And they had 900 goats, you know, housed in this big, awesome shed. And she asked me if I'd like to come along and do, you know, do farming for a while. So I was like, I would like to give this a go.
Growth mindset.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
David, if you had a fixed mindset, you wouldn't have been there that day.
So, yeah, I jumped at the chance. And just one particular day, you know, there's these big deer fence gates and they're covered in corrugated iron. Now, the reasoning behind that is to keep the weather out of the animals that are housed inside this shed.
Okay, so it's not to keep the animals in, it's just to keep them safe and dry, comfortable.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Yep. So keeping their housing and that dry. And this particular day I was closing this gate ready for milking and just a freak gust of wind, mate, just picked me up and the gate and slammed me against a post, you know, a big deer fence post.
Wait, what are your recollections of that? Does it happen in slow motion or it just happened quick?
No, it happened so bloody quick.
Yeah, like a matter of seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was, you know, to lift me and my fat ass off the ground, it had to be a pretty good, you know, gust of wind. So, yeah, it just slammed me there and I ended up on the ground. Obviously, the gate slammed and then reopened and I just landed on the ground and I looked at my arm and it was just bent in a, like an L shape. unbelievable.
Like blood coming out, or had it slashed just bones everywhere?
Just completely like this here was just in a V. So imagine that. Both bones were just snapped completely in half, mate.
But the bones weren't poking out of the skin or...
No. You don't have to get that bloody gruesome, man.
I just want to paint a picture of what you went through here. So adrenaline kick. Are you in pain or are you just...
I think the adrenaline had kicked in by then, so no, I wasn't in pain. But I had this small nick on my knee, obviously from a bit of corrugated iron. I just sort of got a nick. Well, that was more bloody painful, mate. Seriously. It was so painful. I don't know what was going on. I don't know whether the pain had transferred down to here, but it was just bizarre. So away we went to the hospital. Get to A&E, and the guys, they were great there. They took one look and they said, yep, well, we don't really need to send you for an X-ray, Shaz. We can see what's going on. So they took me into a room, knocked me out for 5 minutes and realigned it and stuck me in a temporary cast. And I can remember the doctor in there saying to me, you'll need to go to surgery tonight, Shaz, to get it plated and pinned. You know, just a few couple of plates and a couple of pins on each side, just a normal 6 to 8 week recovery. And I'm like, yep, can handle that.
So you're feeling okay. You're feeling pretty good about it. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm like, okay, surgery tonight, that's fine. He said, because if you don't go to surgery tonight, Shaz, he said there's going to be some serious complications. Unfortunately, I didn't go to surgery that night.
And were you, after being told that, were you, I don't know, like were you sort of, I mean, it's easy to have this line of questioning and have this conversation with the benefit of hindsight, but were you sort of like, you know, pushing it yourself and saying, hey, listen, I need to get to surgery. I got told I need the surgery.
At that stage, no, because they told me that I'd go that night.
Okay.
So, you know, I was reassured that, yeah, it was going to happen that night. So I was like, okay. So you just go with it, right?
Oh, yeah, well, they're the experts.
Yeah, you just roll with it. So I'm like, okay, get that night at about 7 o'clock. They come and tell me that, no, I was going to be bumped again. This went on for 5 days, mate. 5 friggin' days.
See, again, we've got the benefit of hindsight here, but if it was me, I think if I was told you need to get to surgery ASAP or else there's going to be complications, I'd like to think I'd be like aggressively pursuing it and pushing it and following up.
I think I was.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, you're in a lot of pain. The reason why I was in a lot of pain was because I could see my fingers were starting to swell. My hand was starting to go black. You know, and the pain was starting to get quite intense. So that's when I sort of got pretty, let's say, forceful, you know, and I'd say to the nurses.
So this is day.
This is day about 3 and a half.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, look, you know, I really need to see somebody here. And of course, the nurses had come. Oh, we'll give you some more Panadol, Shaz, you know. In the end, I did. Day 5, I said, you know, this is bullshit. I'm in pain. I want to see somebody. I want a doctor in here today. I need to see. I said, have a look at my hand. And by that stage, you could see my knuckles, my fingers were going black. So I didn't know what the rest of the arm was like.
So you were sort of starting to panic?
Well, I wasn't starting to panic. No. I was in pain.
Okay.
I was in severe pain.
Right.
Because don't forget, I'm still in a temporary cast. So a lot of the swelling couldn't swell. So anyway, the surgeon came in and I can remember it. It's just like he walked through that door and I'm in a bed here like this sitting up and he just walked in the door and my arm was obviously sitting here and he just said, get her to surgery now. And I can remember, mate, I was rushed out of that room and down to surgery. So I had surgery thinking that I was going to come out of that and I'd just be...
Maximum.
You know, a couple of 4 plates, you know, 2 plates on each bone and screws in each bones. When I came to, the surgeon was actually standing by my bed and me and my big mouth, I said, what's going on if you cut me fucking arm off? Wow. He says, no, Shaz, we haven't. But he said, I need to inform you, we've had to do a fasciotomy.
What's that?
Exactly. I said, speak to me in English. So a fasciotomy, because I couldn't see my arm. It was all bandaged up.
Right.
I had no idea what it was looking like. So a fasciotomy was they had to, they cut right down the inside of my arm, crossed my hand, crossed the side of my hand, and all the way back up the side. Now, the reasoning of that was it's to release the pressure because it had swollen so much. It was severely swollen. So from there, every second day I went back to theatre and they stitched up segments about this big each time. So I had 9 surgeries in 11 days. On the 11th day, this young intern came in to my room and he says, oh, I'm just going to have a look at your, check your arm, Shaz. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Didn't warn me about what the hell my arm was going to look like or what I was about to see. He took all the bandages off and the dressing off. And I don't know if you've seen any photos, Dom. But
no, I haven't.
But there was this gaping hole in my arm. So this massive hole here.
Now, some people will be watching this on YouTube. Most people will be listening to it. What sort of size, anything you can compare it to in terms of size?
Probably the size of a tennis ball.
Okay. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, and as round as a tennis ball. So
whereabouts? Like on the, where? Like on just, the forearm?
Yeah. Just on in the, here the wrist where area. They were trying to close up. And that was, and I looked and I was like, holy shit balls, you know? And then I looked and I said to him, oh, is that a bit of gorse? And he goes, no, that's your tendon. I'm like, fuck, you know, if I'm sitting there for the first time seeing my arm and here's this massive hole.
I mean, that would make you queasy looking at it on someone else's arm. Looking at it on your own arm, are you panicking at that point?
I wasn't panicking. I was sort of like, to be honest, I was probably sort of steering away from it, you know, at this point. And I said to him, why the hell have I still got that hole there? And he says, oh, we can't close that, Shaz. We tried to close it. And when you woke up last time, you were in so much pain. Can't you remember? And I says, no. And he says, no, we had to rush you back into theatre and take those stitches out. That we can't close it. It's too, he's still too swollen.
Mm.
So from there, they sent me down to Hutt Hospital in Wellington to the plastics unit where they removed a bit of my backside. Not that you can notice.
And like a skin graft.
Yep.
Yeah.
And stuck it in, slapped them in there. And that was going to be what my arm was going to look like. So from there, I went home. Good old recovery, you know, best recovery in bed, sleep. You know, let's be honest, sleep is our best recovery.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. So when you leave the hospital, by the way, that's a lot to go through. Like how many operations? Like 9.
I had probably 11 operations all up in 14 days.
Yeah, that takes it out of you.
It does, yeah.
But you were sent home, so you've had all these surgeries, all the stress of this and the skin graft as well, and you're sent home and you think you're just going to recover and it's going to be all good.
Honestly, I was sent home and I thought, yep, my arm's going to – this is a recovery stage now.
Yeah.
We're starting the 6 to 8 week recovery. But when I left Hutt Hospital, they made another appointment for me to come back so that they could check the skin graft, obviously. About a month later, went back down there once again, took all the dressings off, and it was the first time I got to see my arm. I probably should have bought you some photos, Dom. It's on the phone. I can easily show you.
No, thanks.
They're pretty gruesome, yeah. You know. It'd show whether you're a man or a mouse. Yeah. You know?
Oh, I'm a mouse. No, I might get some off you for my video guy.
Yeah,
you might
want them. For sure. Yeah. It was the first time I got to see my arm.
Mm.
Yeah, not pretty. So I was scarred all the way down here, had this massive, you know, skin grafting in here, which in a month's time, the skin grafting had shrunk down and it was looking okay.
So what do you reckon? Did it look like an arm that had been like chewed by a dog or something, would you say? Or?
Yeah, a shark.
A shark, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, just.
And you, so when you see that, do you, what's your initial reaction? Like, do you break down and cry? Like,
what's the point of crying? You know, it's only spilled water, you know. You look at it and, yeah, you're disappointed. I didn't realise the extent of my injuries or the hospitals. Let's put it this way. I didn't realise the extent of the hospital's fuck up.
Mm.
Because this should not have happened.
No, are you frustrated at that point? I know you're not a person that likes to look back in anger, but I take you back to that moment.
Honestly, I'm not frustrated. All I wanted to do was put my energy and my time into my recovery.
Mm.
What's the point of feeling anger you know, and boiling yourself up, you're not, it's not going to benefit you at all. So
no, but if it was me, I'm probably projecting here, I'd be fucking infuriated.
Well, you know, at that point, it hadn't really hit me, Dom.
Okay.
It really hadn't hit me as to what I was going to be left with, what sort of arm I was going to have.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Okay, so the stage, your arm's a mess, but you think it's going to be fine.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, totally. Thinking yep. I was still going to have the use of an arm and I was going to have, you know, my other arm, my left arm. So, yeah, as rehab sort of continued on, the scars, they didn't really improve. The hole that was in there from my skin graft, yeah, it was there. It wasn't pretty, you know. I mean, I'm not a cosmetic chick by any means. Take a look at me. You know, fuck, I don't buy that shit, you know. I was born this way. Why try and spend thousands of dollars trying to cover it up? So, you know, the cosmetic sort of side of things didn't really worry me. But when I saw this, it did start to get to me that, you know, this isn't good. Because in the end, I used to just have my arm sitting here like this, trying to protect it, because it was useless.
Yeah,
it was actually freaking useless.
For anyone that's listening to this, imagine, so she's Shaz is missing her left arm now, but you held it like it was in an invisible sling.
Yep, yeah, for sure.
Up against the body.
Yeah, okay. Perfect. So I just hold it there and just try and protect it. And in the end, you know, it was useless, mate. I had a name for it. You ready?
Oh, I've heard you say this in a couple of podcasts. Yeah, cock in a sock.
I used to call it my cock in a sock.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, it was just fucking useless. You males will understand that, you know, at times, you know, and that's why I used to call it that. It was just useless because it was in like a bandage. And it was just, yeah, it just used to hang. It used to flop. So that was my name for it. You know, I was trying to make light of situation and, you know, different things. And that was a way of calling it something ridiculous and having a bit of fun with it. But, yeah, in the end, it just became redundant. I lost all muscle mass and it was just redundant.
Just there. But did you still have, like, your grip strength in your wrist and your hand? Okay, so.
I lost everything, mate.
Okay, so it was literally like redundant. It was
yeah.
Okay, but I'm thinking about things, and we can get to this later. Like things that you do now that you know, you people with both hands and both arms would take for granted, like doing up buttons on your shirt, for example.
Yeah,
could you use your left hand when you had that post accident? No. Okay.
No, I couldn't do.
So it was just sort of ornamental.
Oh, it was.
Okay,
and it was an ugly ornamental.
Okay,
you know, it wasn't a nice thing to have sitting there. But, you know, I still carried on with my life. I still went out and done things. But it got to a point where I could see that possibly I could go into a different spiral.
What do you mean?
I could have gone down this path of anger.
Yeah.
And being grumpy and being annoyed and getting frustrated. And I didn't want to go down that path, Dom.
Mm.
I really, really didn't want to go down that path. I could see how easy it would be for somebody to spiral on a downward path. So I had to make a decision. And it had to be my decision. Couldn't be anybody else's. So I thought, you know, I want to move on with my life. I don't want to be stuck in this position where, you know, I could get in a situation that I didn't want to be.
Negative headspace.
And,
yeah.
So, yeah, I wanted to move forward with my life.
So I had to make a decision and make some. So it was, I came up with this most radical, stupid decision. And it just, you know, it just felt right.
I don't know. You say a radical, stupid decision. I know you're doing that, say that tongue in cheek, but it feels like it was probably the sensible or even the only decision to make. Yeah or no?
Yeah, I mean, you know, some people wouldn't go to that extreme. You know, it was pretty extreme, this decision. You know, when I threw it at my husband, whoa, mate.
So you guys have been married like 30 odd years?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's my best mate.
And he's, he's got your, you know.
He's got my back, mate.
Yeah, there's no agenda whatsoever at that point.
He's got my back. And so, you know, I threw this idea and, you know, I came up with how am I going to approach this with him? Yeah, because it's a big thing, you know. So I just, one day I just said to him, can we sit down and have a talk? And I just said to him, I've made a decision and I hope you'll support me. But I said, I want it off. And he was, no, not at all.
Was it why? Why was that his initial?
I don't know. It was, you know.
Because he must have had, so this was, the amputation was 2018. Yeah. So it's like a couple of years of you, you know, recovering or trying to recover or dealing with this, you know, useless limb that you called a cock in a sock. Why was that his initial reaction? It must have been something that occurred to him over that time.
Well, no, I don't think it had. I think, I don't know whether it was because he thought it may improve over time.
I suppose you always hold out hope, eh?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
We all do, don't we?
Of course.
We all hope that, you know, it's going to be for the better. But I knew that that wasn't going to be for the better. So I wanted to make it for the better. And the only way for me to make it better was to, yeah, remove it, cut the bugger off, get rid of it, feed it to the flaming dogs, you know.
you know, the dogs are like, we don't want that. It looks like a shark's already had to go at it. Okay, so Owen's initial reaction is no.
Yeah.
Does that come from a place of like love or concern
for you? I honestly believe it was because, you know, he loves me.
Yeah.
And he was looking out for me. You know, so I had to sort of coax it around a bit. You know, I did have to coax him around. In the end, I just said to him, look, it's my life. It's my body. And this is what I want to do. And I said, I hope you support me. And he did, you know, obviously. He came round and he knew that, you know, over time, I think he thought about it. And he knew that it was the right thing for me to do.
Did you guys come up with like a list of pros and cons or anything?
No, I actually spoke to one of my mates and said that because I didn't talk to a lot of people about it because I knew they'd all be, you know, no, you can't have that, Shaz. And I didn't want all those negative reactions. But I did speak to one mate and she said, Shaz, what you should try doing is tying your hand behind your back for a week and see how you go. And I thought, nah, if I'm doing this, I'm going in boots and all. It's just going to happen. And you just got to deal with it then, don't you?
You know? Yeah, but there's no reversal.
Oh, absolutely not. But yeah. I mean, you just got to deal with it.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I've decided I want the useless arm back.
I found a surgeon.
Did you need to have, did they make you undergo any compulsory counselling or anything like that?
Yeah, I had to do a couple of sessions. Oh, shit, that's a lot of crap, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, I had the same sort of thing, mandatory, very, very different situation, but mandatory counselling when me and JJ, my wife at the time, were undergoing fertility stuff and we're about to use a mate's sperm, donor sperm, and you have like mandatory counselling. But it's easy to say the answers that you know you should say.
For sure.
It's very easy to fool them, I think.
I just felt like I was just doing a recording. It was yes, no, yeah, nah, yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, it was, yeah, like you say, I think it's very easy to fool them. Not that I was out there to do that, Dom, not at all.
No, and I'm exactly the same, and it's one of those things. God, it feels like I'm trying to.
It's a process we have to go through.
Yeah, and like with my situation, which is very different to yours, with the donor sperm thing, like I had a couple of years leading up to that where it's like this may be a path we have to go down. So you have time to think about it. Same with you, I guess.
Yeah.
You had a lot of time to think about.
Well, I didn't really because, you know, it happened in December 16. The accident, so I only had that 12 months, you know, that from recovering to making a decision to getting it removed.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, I must have had red flags by my name because you don't just go into a surgeon and say that you want to remove a part of your body and next minute you're getting it done. So I think they sort of knew that that fucked up basically. And, you know, okay, if this is what she wants, well, let's make this happen for her.
Mm.
Plus, I think my surgeon, he was fantastic. I still have a great relationship with him now. He's done my knees. So he's seen quite a bit of my body, you know. And he's always helped me now.
Yeah.
He's made things happen for me. So anyway, I saw him and he put me on to Prof Thurston, a professor down in Wellington who was obviously the man for amputations. So I contacted him and we had a few emails back and forth. And then next minute I get this email saying, let's make it happen. So we did. From there, it just evolved.
Mm. So what's that process? Do you discuss where it's going to be cut off? Or?
So we talked about it and discussed it. And because I was cut right up here, right up to my elbow, basically, and it was a bit of a mess, he said, we can do a below elbow, Shaz. But he said, I would suggest we go above elbow.
So below elbow would make it easier in terms of like prosthetic limbs and things. Okay, yeah.
And if you see a lot of arm amputees, a lot of them are below elbow. There's not many of us that are above elbow, so we're the special ones, obviously. so we went – so he amputated it just above the elbow here.
Yeah.
So it was – as you can see, it's a lot shorter now than what it was when we first done it. But then after he amputated, we had complications. And not only do I have severe phantom pain – I have this thing called CRIPS, which is complex regional pain syndrome. And like I said to you a bit earlier when we're talking, it's like if you've ever peed on an electric fence, you know what it's like. You know, you get that four instant jarring and that shocking. Well, that's what I have.
When does that just – is that sporadically or occasionally?
No,
or
like it's all the time. Really? It's permanently. So
it constantly sort of feels like you're being tattooed, say.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you take for that?
So I don't take I instantly got off the tramadol and the sevradol and all that sort of stuff, and then I've had some super support people around me, and we've tried different things. I've been in contact with a pain specialist, Dr. Amwar, up here, and we've been dealing with him and my people down in Palmy. And we've tried different medications,
So I'm just trying to get my head around something. So post accident, but pre amputation, were you in pain? You had this useless arm.
I had discomfort.
Right.
Had discomfort, but I wouldn't call it pain. Once we amputated it, obviously the nerves didn't agree with that.
Mm.
Because don't forget, it was a massive trauma of being smashed and broken. You know, you've got both bones completely broken in half, snapped in half. So it's a massive trauma. It's not like just a break that a kid has in the playground, you know, from falling out of a tree.
Yeah.
This was severe in their terms. So that trauma on its own has fired the nerves.
Mm.
From instantly from that trauma. So once we had it amputated, it's obviously elevated that pain and the nerve endings. So, we've had two further amputations since then, where I've had an awesome surgeon down at Hutt Hospital, Dr. Bisson. He really looked after me and tried different things. So we went back to surgery another time. This is a couple of years later. What he'd done was he shortened it. He found, well, he obviously opened up Stumpy, found the nerves, stretched them, seared them, and then he let them go, hoping that the nerve endings would end up somewhere back up here, so that there'd be no pressure or nerve endings down here where I was getting all the pain. So we were hoping that was going to happen and eliminate the pain. Unfortunately, it didn't. So about a year, maybe 18 months later, he tried to have another go, and we went through this whole process of he had this brainwave of And this idea that he had to take to a panel to get it approved first to go ahead and do this. So I still didn't know if I was going to have this third amputation or not.
So they're just like going higher and
yeah.
Oh God.
So we got the go ahead and the approval to do this third amputation. And what he'd done then was once again, he opened up Stumpy, found those nerve endings, which had neuromas growing on the end of them, which was causing the pain. So he, once again, he stretched them, he cut them and then removed those neuromas. And then he seared them again, the nerve endings. And then what he'd done was he drilled straight through my bone and he's inserted the nerve endings into my bone so that if the neuromas grow back again, hopefully it won't penetrate through the bone. And that was, he said to me, Shaz, this is the last thing I can think of doing for you. So, you know, I've had some awesome team behind me trying to help me as much as possible with this pain. Unfortunately, it hasn't worked. So we're still in pain. So Stumpy's still a prick.
Yeah, I've heard you refer to it as Stumpy in a couple of podcasts that I've listened to. And why did you decide to name it? When did that happen? Did that happen pre the amputation?
No,
or?
So I honestly, when I first had the amputation, the day of the surgery, I woke up and I looked down and here was this big, fat, you know, bandaged stump. And I just looked down and I had the biggest smile on my face. Dom, I just, and I just looked down and I said, welcome to Shaz's world, Stumpy. And it's just stuck, you know, and yeah. Honestly, it was the best decision of my life.
Yeah,
absolutely best decision of my life, mate.
Yeah. The Stumpy thing, the thing I like about that is, yeah, rather than like mourning what you're losing and talking about losing your arm, you talk about gaining something new.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know. I don't know if that was subconscious or an intentional thing, but it's a way of framing it that.
It was just like, you know, this is the start of a new journey.
Mm.
This is going to be an awesome journey. And I just wanted it to be a great journey.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted it to be a whole new journey. Stumpy and I were starting over, you know, and it was a new beginning. And like I say, the best frigging decision of my life. Mate.
Stumpy and Shaz on tour. Sounds like some sort of weird comedy movie that you'd see in Video Easy back in the day. So you just go back to like the day of or the day before the amputation. Like, yeah, so you're in hospital getting prepped up and maybe you've got the Vivid marker drawn on your arm. Do you have a mourning moment to yourself?
Well,
like
it's
a
funny
moment
you
of grief,
say that,
or?
Dom. That's a really good question, and it's funny, and it's I forget about bringing this up, but, you know, like the morning of the surgery, my surgeon says, you know, right, Shaz, have you thought about what you'd like to do with your limb once I remove it?
Oh, whether you want it back or collect it.
And I'm like, oh, shit, no, I've got no idea. And he goes, well, you know, some people like to have it returned and they keep it in the freezer and so that when they pass, eventually they feel like they're a whole person. And I hadn't even thought about any of this, Dom, you know. And he says, some, you know, get it cremated and keep it for the same reason. You know, there's religious reasons.
Right. I suppose in a way a lot of people would see it as like a part of you, a part
Absolutely.
Of your dying. Like it's the old you.
Yeah. And he says, you know, what would you like? And he said, or you can give it to medical science. And, of course, my natural reaction and my first reaction was not thinking what my mouth was about to say, but I said, feed it to the fucking dogs. And he just looked at me. Here's this, you know, nearly retired gentleman. And he just looked at me. And a couple of the nurses laughed, you know. And then I said, oh, sorry. you know. And I said, because I just wanted it gone.
Yeah.
You know, it was no good to me. I didn't want the bloody thing back. You know, it was my decision to get rid of it. So why the hell would I want it back, you know? So I just said, give it to medical science. I said, hopefully this will prevent somebody else going through what I've gone through.
Mm.
So what they done with it, I got no idea, Dom, and I don't care. I really don't care. Yeah. Mm.
See, I'm probably pettier than you. I think I've just been thinking the last couple of minutes what I'd do with it, and I probably would have got it back and then sent it to the fuckers in Palmerston North Hospital that fucked it up in the first place by messing around for 5 days.
Yeah, well, you know, I have thought of that sometimes.
Because there's no accountability on that end, is there?
No accountability whatsoever. And what chance do you have of any accountability when you, you know?
Yeah, and what you're doing and saying is exactly the right thing. Like, there's no use wasting 5 years, 7 years, 10 years of your life collecting folders of court documents, going through the system for, what, maybe 100 grand at the end of it, a couple hundred grand?
Honestly, like, you know, and that's what I said to people. Look, it's not about the money. It's about moving forward.
Yeah.
But you can see where people and how people think. And, you know, if I don't want that anger and that negativity and that frustration.
Even someone saying sorry, like, what's it going to change?
Oh, mate, you know, you might get a letter with a scribbled signature at the bottom of it. What the fuck does that mean? You know, what does that give you?
Yeah.
It doesn't give you any, you know, closure. My closure is just the beginning of the opening of my new journey. Yeah, that's my closure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you're in that hospital bed recovering and the hours or the days after it, is it emotional or are you just happy?
No, I'm happy, mate.
Yeah.
I was ecstatic. Yeah, I just wanted to get out of there, move on. I went through a fair bit of pain. That's where the pain obviously started after the amputation, and I went through a fair bit of pain. And they moved.
Did they warn you about that? Did they warn you it could be painful? Because you sort of think you've got this useless limb, you get it chopped off, and everything's going to be better.
Yeah. They said that there can be side effects, like anything, Dom.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a side effect. And you know, normally it's phantom pain, which you can treat by doing mirror therapy and doing a whole lot of different therapy.
Yeah, describe that to us, phantom pain.
So my arm is still sitting here. That's because that's where the brain last remembers it before it was removed.
Mm.
So my arm is still sitting there. I can't, because of my severe phantom pain, I can't actually open my hand like I'm doing with this one. So like, I'm going to try opening my hand here.
Your left hand, you're talking. Yep. Yeah.
And you'll see me trying to open it. You watch here.
Oh, shit.
That's me trying to open.
Wow.
My hand. Weird, eh? Bizarre.
Wow, like the muscles firing in your left bicep.
Yep. Mm. But it's trying to open my hand. Weird, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny how the brain associates things. So I have this pain and I deal with it, but I don't make it my issue.
Mm. What do you mean?
I don't make it my issue that I've got pain because.
What do you mean you don't make it your issue?
Well, I don't want to make it my life.
Right. Okay. You don't want it to define you.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
No, not at all.
So you just. You mean you don't make it your issue? You don't make it other people's issues?
Well, both.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I don't want it to drag me down. I don't. Once again, I don't want to go into that position. So, think positive. You know, move forward. You know. So, that's where I turn back to my sport.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, so, okay. Yeah. So you get back home. How long is the sort of recovery?
It's quite a while. A while.
And this must have been a frustrating time with lots of tears. Because I'm thinking about things that, you know, like I mentioned before, like you're wearing a button-up shirt today. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you do the buttons up.
It's pretty. Yeah.
Yeah. Take a while to do it with one hand?
I probably won't be able to do it now because, you know.
No, but you've got a shirt on, so you've obviously done it, or Owen's helped you. Okay, other stuff. Tying shoelaces.
Mate. Come on, think about it. Elastic. I haven't got them on today, but, you know, I've got shoes like what you wear, and I just wear the laces slightly less loose.
Oh, okay, so you slide them on and off. No, okay.
There you go. There's my button.
Okay, plugging in a phone charger.
Easy.
How do you do that with them?
Try it. Dom, come on, man. Try it.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I was asking some good questions here.
Fuck.
Okay. No, seriously, how do you plug in your phone charger with one?
I just get my phone, I'll either stand it upright and put the charger in,
right,
or I'll use the bench and put it towards the end of the bench and push it in. You find a way to do everything, Dom, seriously.
Humans are adaptable, eh?
Oh, look, mate, I honestly didn't.
And this was part of my new journey that I wanted to embrace, having these challenges. You know, I think you guys are the most boringest buggers out because you just get up and do the same things every day.
You guys as in who?
You guys, everybody else.
With two arms.
Yeah.
Excuse me, that was you for the first 55 years of your life. No. Don't be so smug.
Now, I have the best challenges every day.
Yeah.
You know, I come across challenges every day and I flame and love it, you know, because I have to work it out. I can take the easy way. Like when I first came out, the rehab would bring around all these different things, you know. This is the board that will help you buddy your toes, Shaz. You put this on here with these steel prongs, you know, like nails upside down.
Oh, to hold
down,
the toast,
you know,
and
hold the toast and do all this. Mate, that's all in the wardrobe. If anything, I've probably given it to other people now. I've never, ever wanted to use anything like that. I've just wanted to find my way, you know. Yeah, I've done my button up and I've undone it again now because it's too bloody hot. But, you know, I've just wanted to find things to do my way. And I have. And that's what I say. You know, I have these challenges every day. Love them. Love them. You know, I still get out. I mow the lawns. I still hang the washing on the line. You know, my husband, Owen, was so great. Don't get me wrong. He was amazing. But I had to say to him in the end, because he was always wanting to help me, and I'd have to say, hey, can you please stop? I want to do these. If I need help, I will ask you. But he was only doing it, Dom, because he loves me and he was trying to help me. And I was probably a bitch by saying that to him. But it was because I wanted not to rely on anyone. You know,
you wanted that independence.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
You well up when you talk about Owen, don't you?
Because he's been such a great rock for me, you know. Like I say, he stood by me and supported me with everything, you know, and even
But come on, what do you expect him to do? You're with someone for a quarter of a century and then they have a freak accident and lose an arm. But he'd be a piece of shit if he walked out at that point.
Well, if he did, he'd be called a fair few things, I can tell you. But, you know, I know he'd never do that.
Yeah.
He's just.
He loves you.
He's my best mate.
Mm.
He's my other half.
Mm.
You know, literally, I feel like he's my other half. He's there all the time.
Mm.
You know, yeah, we still have the odd little bloody tiff, you know, like every married couple does. But on a whole, we're 110%.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get back home and you're recovering and you're adapting to life. And I guess you're still adapting to life now, like with day-to-day challenges that pop up. But when do you get the idea to, like, embark on a sporting career?
Well, like I say, I've always dabbled in some sports. So it was about, okay, where do we go from here? And I thought, you know, I want to make this a new journey. So I thought, let's do something radical. Some people might call it stupid, Dom, but I thought, let's find a sport and do something. So instead of just aiming for something small, I thought, I'm going to aim for something big. So I thought, right, I'm going to try to get into a New Zealand team in a sport that would have to challenge me. So like I said before, I've dabbled in a bit of running and I've dabbled in a bit of cycling, but I hate swimming with a passion. Absolutely loathe it. So I thought, probably for one, because I have to keep my mouth shut too. So I thought, let's try triathlon. So, you know, there was all these things and these challenges, and I knew swimming was going to be my challenge, obviously. You know, I didn't know if I was going to sink, swim, or go in circles, mate. You know, so I just jumped into that challenge. So literally a month to the day of having Stumpy removed, we went to Hawke's Bay. I didn't want to do it at home. I wanted to be out of my surroundings and just be somewhere where I felt that nobody was looking.
Why?
Because it was the first time I was going to be in public be exposed. You know, for one, woman and togs, have, you know, it's not something we like to do, let alone with half a wing, right?
But for anyone that's listening to this that doesn't know that area of New Zealand, like, you're talking like a two-hour road trip. That,
yeah.
Like from Fielding to Hawke's Bay, yeah, it's a couple of hours. It's a
mate,
it's a long way to go for half an hour in the pool.
But I knew knew there was a good pull there, and I knew it was going to be quiet at that sort of time. So,
So
away we trudged, and we decided it was going to be for a weekend away as
right.
well. You know?
Okay.
So, away we trudged. Owen comes into the pool with me. I stripped down. I got my goggles, and I hopped in the pool, and I was like, how the frig am I going to put these bloody goggles on? There was another new challenge straight away. See what I mean?
Hundreds of things like that every day that you wouldn't even.
So the first thing I done was I got my goggles, I stuck the strap over my nose, and I pulled it back, and I looked like Miss Piggy with my nose in the flaming ear. But I pulled the strap back, and then I was able to adjust my goggles.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, there's a challenge. Who else has tried to do that? You know, and I overcame that challenge. So the next thing was to see if we could swim. Now, I had no flaming idea, Dom, how I was going to go.
Mm.
Had no idea. Yeah. Had no idea how Stumpy was going to react to being put in water. You know, all these things that people probably just take for granted, but it was all new for me. And hence why I wanted to be in a surroundings where nobody knew me so that I could just give it a go. If I floundered, if I sunk, if I went in circles, nobody was going to see me that I knew. So, yeah, I said to Owen, film this. This is going to be interesting. So he got my camera ready, and away I went. I just instantly went under the water, pushed off the edge, propelled my right arm over, and I propelled forward, threw Stumpy over, and I felt like I went flaming nowhere because there was nothing there to pull back, you know. But I just kept swimming with this arm. And
so were you going straight, or were you sort of veering?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you were going straight.
I didn't feel like I was, but
right.
But yeah, when I watched the video, because I concentrated on that bloody black line, you know, that's always in the pool.
Mm.
And so obviously my core was doing a bit of work, but we got to the other end, mate, and I just came out from under that water. And once again, it was just a massive smile. It was like, yes. You know, I've done that. So, yes, here comes the journey. I know I can swim. Where do we go from here? How do I improve? How do I include these three disciplines into one to make this journey happen? And that's where it started, Dom. That's exactly where it started, exactly a month to the day after meeting Stumpy.
How, you guys have got kids, eh? How old are your kids?
Owen's got kids,
right.
And I've got one. The younger, well, 34 now.
Right.
So they're all growing up. So they're all gone, you know.
What do they make of everything?
Honestly, they don't treat me any different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but they must be fucking proud.
I hope they are.
Yeah.
I hope they are. Yeah.
Is it not a conversation they've said?
It's not a conversation I bring up.
Is that just sort of your family? You know, not
a family that talks. I just don't like to talk about myself. Okay. I really don't feel comfortable talking about my achievements because I do it for me and I do it for Owen. I want him to be proud of me. Yes, I'd like Owen's family is proud of me. Mm. I don't know. As I say, it's not a conversation I like to – yeah. Mm. Hey, are you happy with what I'm doing? Are you proud of me? You know, that's not something I would, you know.
No, and it shouldn't be your job to say that, but I feel like to show such courage and strength and such adversity, I feel like that's something that warrants saying to someone you care about, hey, I'm really proud of you.
I know Owen's son's son, which is Owen's grandson, Josh. I know he's proud of me.
Yeah.
We text quite regularly. They live in Australia, and Josh is one that, you know, I'm proud of. He's done well in rugby. So I think it's through the sport that we connect, you know, and he'll quite often text and say, you know, I'm proud of you, Shaz, you know.
Yeah.
So, I know he is. And if I can make him proud, well, you know, and likewise. So, I think they are proud of me. Yeah.
It sounds a bit like my family. We don't necessarily, you know, tell each other these things with words, but I feel like sometimes you should.
Exactly. I was always brought up, we were never told we were loved.
Yeah.
We were never cuddled.
You're just supposed to know it.
You know, that wasn't our family dynamics. It just wasn't in us. So when I went to the farm, you know, it was a totally different ball game. You know, my auntie and uncle would come up and give me a cuddle. You know, that was all new to me. You know, things changed. The dynamics changed.
Yeah,
but yeah, not it wasn't a that sort of lifestyle.
Yeah. So what's the first event that you do? So you go to Hawke's Bay, have a go at swimming, and you think, right, I'm going to be able to do this. So then,
what did I do?
Is it just like a standard triathlon, or is it length?
It was just, you know, I went from trying to swim to entering the New Zealand national championships. I went along to that, and there was, you know, there was only about three or four of us because there's not a lot. And I won that, and that was the start. So I decided, right, here we go. This is how we start earning points and getting into the Paralympic ranking situation. So, it started there. And then, of course, the next thing, you had to go to your Oceania's, which was in Australia. Went over there. I got silver. So the progress and the progression was starting to happen. And I was loving it. You know, Shane and Tammy Reed were coaches in fielding. Shane was a Olympic triathlete himself. I don't know if you've heard him. You've only got to Google the Beijing Olympics, and Shane's the first one out of the water, and man, he's a weapon.
Right.
Unfortunately, Shane's passed away. He had brain cancer and passed away, you know, not so long ago. Well, when we say 12 months coming up. But Shane was just one of those humble guys. Mm. And Tammy, his wife, she was a national triathlete herself, and she decided to get into coaching. So they came on board and they started coaching me. So that's where we started.
Yeah, so that's the swimming. And then and running. Yeah, so you had some running experience beforehand. Is running just the same? What's the difference?
Shane and Tammy got me into a coaching program, and they coached me for swimming, running, and biking.
No, but running as an amputee, is it?
Oh, mate, weird.
Is it?
Weird, seriously.
in terms of what?
You know, put it this way, the first run I went out with Tammy, I didn't know how I was going to react. I didn't know how Stumpy was going to react. It was friggin' painful because of the jarring.
Oh, okay.
The jarring, it was just horrible.
Mm.
But I wasn't going to let Tammy know that. So Tammy would run on this side. She said, I'll run on the right-hand side, Shaz, because I don't want to be anywhere near Stumpy. I said, thanks. We'd be running along down the road. Next minute, the bitch, she'd give me a whack. You know, Tammy's only a little short ass, and there's nothing of a fit little lean, mean machine. And next minute, she'd give me a whack on the shoulder, and I'd say, what's that for? And she'd say, move over. You're veering out.
Oh, because of the imbalance. Exactly. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it?
Now, I only had 1.75 kilos taken off, right, when I lost my arm. But that 1.75 kilos, Dom, made a huge difference in my balance. Who would have thought? Well, I wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah, it makes sense, though.
Yeah, totally.
So that's the running. What about the cycling? So do you cycle with just one hand on the bar?
So I started off just on a road bike. Yeah. And then we progressed, obviously, to a TT bike to start international racing with.
Yeah.
And that's where first of all, how was I going to ride a TT bike?
Yeah, with the aero bars. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So the Limb Centre, was like phone call to the Limb Centre. Now, honestly, they must, every time they hear Shaz is making an appointment, they must roll their eyes and think, oh, God, what's she coming at us with this time? But they came up with this really rad idea of making a cup for Stumpy to sit in. So I'd sit Stumpy in this and I'd be down here like this, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's how we managed to get around riding on an aero bike, on a TT bike. And that's how we progressed on that. But it was, once again, it was all about balance, because I couldn't put pressure down in that cup because of the pain in the end of my stump. So we had cotton wool, we had lamb's wool, we had foam, we had so much in there to stop any jarring. But, yeah, we got around it, and that's how my bike is still set up today. Mm. And they're just actually looking, it's because it's all made of carbon at the moment, they're just starting to look at a new way of being able to do a 3D printed one, so it's lighter and a little bit more flex in it for me. So, yeah, they're amazing down there at the Limb Centre in Wellington.
Mm.
Friggin' cool, clever guys.
So when able-bodied people do these sort of events, there's pain that you have, like there's pain in your lungs, pain in your legs,
yep,
whatever. What extra pain do you have above and beyond that? Is it just like a burning sensation or throbbing?
She's
or
she's firing.
Right.
Yeah, when I say she, he's firing. Yeah, he's been a typical male, a right prick, you know, just been a pain in the ass, literally, you know, real pain. It's a pain that you can't describe. It's not a pain that I can describe to people because people wouldn't believe it. But you know, I've found ways of just getting out there, doing things. I feel if I'm doing something and keeping active, it's helping with that pain. Mm. Even though I'm in pain and I'm causing myself pain, mentally I feel like that and physically that I'm helping that pain.
Yeah, you're making yourself stronger.
Yeah.
Building resilience.
Yeah.
But how do you how do you block that out? Like do you have mantras or anything or do you
I have got a mantra. And my mantra is I may only have one wing, but I can still fly.
Mm.
And that's what I have to say to myself. Or when I am in this pain, I just say, don't give in.
Mm.
It comes from within. And when I say within, I mean it's what's in your heart.
Mm.
You know, if we really want something, we'll dig deep and we'll do it.
Mm.
You know, we'll find a way. But we have to find that way. Nobody else will do it for us.
So that pain that you're talking about, is that only when you're like competing and pushing it or is that training as well?
It's everyday pain. I'm in that pain every day, mate.
So when you're
this is the first time, you know, you're a prick because you're making me open up about it, Dom.
don't want to get the tissues. I can get the tissues.
No, I don't want tissues. That's a sign of weakness.
No, I don't.
Okay. Seriously, it's because it's from the heart, you know.
Mm.
I don't talk about the pain. People don't understand or know that I'm in pain because I've learned to hide that.
Mm. But should you?
I don't want people to see me weak.
No.
That's a weakness to me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be weak, Dom.
Yeah.
I want to be that strong person. Mm. You know, don't get me wrong, I have some days at home where I'm weak.
Mm. Yeah, when you train, I'm thinking, I'm probably projecting here, but if I was you and I was on that stationary bike in the garage on fucking Peloton or whatever for 3 hours and it was hurting every second, I'd probably cry to myself.
I have.
Do you?
I have, Dom.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, I'm set up in the shed. I'm not like some people that, you know, have their bike set up in the lounge. That's, to me, that's my inside of my home is home. My training, if I have to train on outside, is in the shed. Mm. I keep those two lives separate. So, yeah, you know, there are those sessions where you have to sit on that flaming bike getting numb bum and, you know, every other department, you know, in a uncomfortable state out in a shed. And, yeah, there are times that, yeah, I do cry and I think it's
just
more.
Just because it gets overwhelming? It's all too much? Or
yeah. Yeah. Some days I do. I feel like throwing that session in, but I know that at the end of that session, if I didn't do that session, you know what it's like when you're a runner. Some days you don't want to go out for a run. But when you come back, shit, you feel good, right?
Yeah, way better afterwards. Yeah,
you do.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about it. If I was to cut that session short, I wouldn't feel right.
Mm.
It wouldn't sit good, you know? And I'd probably have to go back out later and do it again.
Because the guilt's eating you up.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And you'd understand that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. 100%. But what I'm dealing with is not this extra level of adversity or pain. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's that, you know, that term putting yourself in the pain cave, which anyone that's done any sort of physical activity will understand. But then.
But you know that pain is going to go.
Yeah,
you
but,
know
but
that you're going to get that
pain.
No, over.
But what I'm saying, Shaz, is your pain doesn't go.
No, it doesn't. Like, no,
it's constantly there, and then when you're doing the exercise, it just gets worse.
Yeah,
it's rough.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rough hand to
it
be
dealt. Sucks, mate. Mm. But, you know, I choose to you know, move forward.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only way to go, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. You know, yeah, you know, there are some days Owen may have gone out in the afternoon or something and I've finished training and I'll go inside and, yeah, I do. I'll have a cry. But it's to myself.
Mm.
I won't show that.
Yeah, why don't you? Why, out of all the people, you could show it to him, right?
Oh, for sure.
Wouldn't he understand?
Oh, absolutely.
Or you just prefer to deal with the stuff on your own?
I don't like to show that side of me.
Why? Is it an embarrassment thing or a pride thing?
Probably
or
a pride thing, yeah. I think. You know, I don't want to be seen as that weak bitch.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't even know Owen, but I feel like if he ever listens to this, he'll probably hear this and be frustrated that you don't lean on him a little bit more.
Probably, yeah. But he knows that, you know. I think he knows that.
Mm.
I know he's there if I need him.
Mm.
He's always there. I think he's learnt now, just, you know. Don't
taking
even,
him 30 years.
Don't even ask her, you know.
Yeah,
just roll your eyes and go, oh, here we go again, you know. Here's you know. I think he's sort of got used to me. And I say that in the way that I think he's got used to my ways, my new ways. Yeah.
Mm. So like, who do you talk to about this? You're talking to me today about it, but you talk to anyone else about it?
Look. This is the first time I've really opened up, Don. So you've been friggin' privileged, you bugger. You know, I don't open up.
Yeah. But it's good. Sharon.
This is like it. Don't Sharon you tag me, Sharon. As I said, I'm only get called that when my mother tells me off. But, you know, it's not a therapy session, Don, But I feel I can open up to you because I feel that you can relate.
Yeah.
You know, you've had some shit times in your life.
But as I said earlier, like from doing this podcast, like almost 2 years now, every single person has or will go through some sort of adversity.
Yeah, for sure.
It's all on a different level, but.
And it's how we want to progress with that adversity, or if we want to progress.
Mm.
Some people can, some people can't.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you can easily make yourself a victim, and no one would begrudge you. You've got every right in the world to, but it's like it's not going to help you grow, is it?
It's not going to help me or my journey.
Mm.
You know, my journey's about having the best life, and mate, I am.
Yeah.
Even though I have this pain, you know, as I say, it's not about that.
Mm.
It's about my journey.
And how exciting that you're on the downward slide of life on the apex. You know, you're in your second half of your life, but it's also like a new beginning.
Oh, it's the best part of my life.
Yeah.
You know, I would never have achieved or done half of the things I've done, Dom, if I hadn't met Stumpy.
Yeah. You could have, though, eh? Why wouldn't you have, though?
Oh, mate, I wouldn't have been able to travel the world like I have.
No, but you could have, and it would have been considerably easier, like doing things like triathlon or swimming or coast to coast.
But like you
waited until things got very, very difficult for yourself before you decided to.
but that's what makes the challenge even more rewarding.
Yeah.
You know, and like I say, it's always been about if one person can see me doing it and it encourages them to get out and do something, I feel like I've achieved what I've set out to do, Don.
Mm. Oh, I think there's more than one. A lot of people feel like sex is shit.
Well, I don't mean to do that. I really, that's not my intention, Dom. Don't go that far. If I can encourage others.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just because we're challenged. There's no reason why we cannot still succeed at things.
Mm.
And it doesn't have to be mad radical things like I've done. Just small steps. You know, small steps lead to bigger steps, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And you, coast to coast. We haven't even talked coast to coast. So you've done coast to coast as like part of a team. And next year you're going to have a crack at it as a solo. So you do the 2-day event on your own.
Yeah, it'll be the 2-day event.
So coast to coast starts early on a Saturday morning, shortest bike ride, then a massive sort of 30-ish K mountain run.
Yep.
Then you sleep, and then the next day, a bike ride again, big kayak, and a big bike ride.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Now the run, I've never done the coast to coast, but I have done the run segment of the coast to coast as a guide, and it's a thing called Goat's Pass. I'm just wondering how you would do that, because I'm a runner. It's not even really a run you do. Like, you're scrambling over rocks, you're wading through, you know, chest deep water.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that?
Numerous river crossings. You know, it all depends on the river that day and the river levels.
But I can't imagine how you'd do that run without two hands.
Oh, look,
a lot of it is scrambling up rocks. And
don't get me wrong, my time was slow, Dom, because I went down there not knowing. I wanted to go into it blind and just experience the unknown. So when I got down there, and started the Goat Pass, it was like, okay. And then there was parts where it was like, holy shitballs, you know, I have to literally stop and watch the able body scramble over and then go, how the frick am I going to do this?
Yeah, did you have someone with you that's like lifting you up with a hand or giving you a push on the night?
Nope, I didn't want any support. The only time I had a support person, that was Brett in the kayak.
You had a double kayak.
Yes, okay. Yes. So, and that was purely for safety reasons.
Right.
You know, the organisers of Coast to Coast, which I fully understand and respect.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so how does the kayak work in terms of
So once again, the Limb Centre came up with some neat ideas. I met this awesome bird, Alex. When I first went down there and done it, Brett, who was a plumber, the Limb Centre came up with a socket and a hunk of pipe that stuck out like this. Brett, being a plumber, he walked into the shop and said, we need to find something that's going to hook over your paddle. So he found a hose, half a hose clip like this, steel hose clip.
Mm-hmm.
He screwed that in there on the end, and then he got two $1 rubber O-rings. We put the socket and this clamp on my paddle, and he used these two $1 O-rings to hold it on. That's how we got down the Waimakariri River for 70 km.
So your left stump is attached to the paddle. What happens if you arse out?
I'm stuck on with my paddle, stumpy and all like this. Yeah. So Brett done that, and then because I decided I wanted to have a go, I was very, very lucky to have Brett. Honestly, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have got down there. But I had the cruisy part. I sat in the back of the kayak, just, you know. A lot of time, Brett didn't know I was in tears because I was in so much pain with having to put Stumpy and use the force of the paddle. So,
Every stroke hurt?
So every time, every stroke, I'd sort of think, it's one less stroke you have to do, Shaz. Just keep going. It's one less you got to do. So, he didn't know or wasn't aware that a lot of the time I was crying. But, of course, you'd see the photographer and you'd go, yay, hi, as you do. so we got down there. But when we got back and I decided I wanted to have a go at doing the coast completely solo, because I didn't feel like I'd achieved it solo, because I was in a double kayak. So, I contacted Coast and they approved me to do it on the condition that I have somebody in another kayak behind me just shadowing me.
Oh, yeah.
Which I fully get and totally understand once again. For sure. So I've got Duncan who's coming along and he's been on pretty much of the kayak journey with me and he's going to come down and be my support person. So honestly, Dom, will I be able to do the kayak section and finish the event? I really, really don't know.
Ah, but giving it a red hot crack, right?
Yep. You don't know unless you try, right?
Yeah.
So, Feb, here we come.
How good. And I'm not sure when this podcast is going to come out, but November 18, 2023, you're attempting to kayak the length of Lake Taupo, which is 46 Ks.
Yep.
So if you can do the coast to coast, will this be easy? No.
So this is totally.
Oh, by the way, I say easy. Like
you just sit there and call it easy.
Yeah.
Too.
You're looking at someone that gets in a kayak for 5 minutes when they're in Fiji and then gets bored shitless. So I'm sorry, 46 Ks is never. How long would that take you?
Well, I just done a a sort of a bit of a recce just last week, actually, and went to Taupo. And I'd done 36 Ks in just under 4 hours, you might as well say. But it's totally different than on the river, because the river, you've still got the river flow, which is...
Yeah, the rapids pushing you along.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I wondered if it was easier than
so, that. No, I find this harder because on the lake, because you're literally having to propel yourself along, aren't you?
Right.
So, yeah, it's going to be a big ask. But if I decided I wanted to do this to try and raise funds for kidney kids...
Oh, yeah, because you've only got one kidney.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did you discover that?
Oh, a few years back now.
Right, right.
But,
so you went through all your, you got through all your early years till middle age or whatever. And yep. What does it mean only having one kidney?
Nothing. Yeah. I've got one arm, so I might as well have one kidney, right? Just call me, you know, halfer. But, yeah.
You're like Briscoes, eh? 50% off.
Exactly. But, you know, yeah, it hasn't altered me, but I just sort of think, well, I wanted to give back to somebody or some charity. So it was obviously Kidney Kids came to my light, and it was like, well, you know, if I can help do something for these kids, I'd like to. So, they've set up a give a little page under Limitless Shares, and we're trying to raise some funds for them. So, yeah, hopefully we can. And I'm also going to do that for Coast to Coast as well. So I'm doing it for them.
Oh, that's great. It's a hell of a story.
It's a good story.
And I'm in sort of two minds about it, because it's, you know, had you after the accident, had you left the arm, which was useless and ornamental for all intended purpose, you wouldn't have had the pain that you're in now?
Possibly not, but we don't know. That pain could have eventuated.
Yeah.
To a higher intensity as it went on as well, Dom. So I don't know. It's that what if. But why wait for that what if? You don't know. So, you know, like I said, move on. Cut the bugger off.
Yeah. And you did. You definitely did. And when you stand in front of the mirror now, like you like what you see?
Absolutely.
You love the new chassis? Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm still me.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't changed.
Or even new and improved. I mean, the things you're doing now, like you never did it before.
I'm a better person. I honestly believe I'm a better person.
Yeah. Do you?
Yep. Yeah, I really do. I really do think I'm a better person.
I mean, physically you're fitter, but what do you mean better though?
Mentally?
Yeah.
I mean, I was never mentally unwell, but I just feel like mentally I've got stronger, more resilient. But I never really thought about that, but it's just, yeah, I'm a better me, totally. I feel a better person. Mm. I love who I am.
And I believe you when you say you wouldn't change it.
No, I would never turn the clock back.
How good. If that accident had never happened with the gate and the goats.
Mate, I wouldn't be who I am today.
Yeah. What do you think your life would look like now? Have you ever paused to reflect on that?
Just
going through the motions.
Yeah. I'd just be a normal person like you. How bloody boring, right?
So boring. Well, there's a line from a movie I really like, Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, yes.
The line is like, get busy living or get busy dying.
Yep.
I suppose, like, and I don't say this in a mean way, I'm probably busy dying, and probably 99% of people are. Like, you're just going through
the
life.
Motion, yeah.
And I suppose now you're getting busy living.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I am. I'm really living now.
Yeah.
I'm living, I'm loving my living, I'm loving my life. I love who I am. I'm proud of myself. Yeah.
Could you say that beforehand?
Nope. I can sit here now and, yeah, it's the first time I've probably even said that, Dom. You know, Jesus, you're a prick. You're really making me open up.
I've done nothing.
You know, I can honestly say I'm proud of myself, and that's the first time I've said that.
Man, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And are you enjoying, I was going to say the level of fame you've got now, but there was a story in the woman, you've had a story in the Woman's Day. I saw there's a great piece that the Attitude TV show did on you.
Yeah.
There's been a couple of podcasts and bits and pieces, but you're enjoying this? You've done some keynote speaking and some public speaking as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, who would have thought that, right? Mm. You know? Who the hell would have thought I would be standing up talking to 350 people, looking at all these eyes looking at you? You know what it's like. It's a whole new world, isn't it? You know, and I would never have had all these opportunities, Dom. Never. So,
but you're the architect of that, though. You created it. I mean, you could have your arm lobbed off and go to yourself, "Well, this is the end. This is the end of life. I know it." But for you, it was like, and you've literally, you know, put this into action. You've made it a new beginning.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
You've done that.
I wasn't living before, but I am now. Yeah. Like I say, you know, my mantra to myself is, I may only have one wing, but I can still fly. And I think everybody should have a mantra that they should live up to. I'm sure you've got one, have you?
Yeah, there's one. there's one I really like. There's a guy called Cameron Haynes. He's on a lot of podcasts. He's an American bow hunter and an ultra distance runner. I don't know if he came up with this or if it's just a thing, but his slogan is "Nobody cares, work harder." Mm-hmm. And what it means is, like, I suppose in your situation, you could be like, "Oh, if, you know, Palmerston North Hospital didn't do this, then I would have had my arm." And it's like, no one cares. Just work harder.
Yep.
And I feel like you epitomise that.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You know, you can sit around bitching about it, or you can just get on the bike and suck it up.
Get on with life, you know? We only have one chance, right? Mm. Make the flaming most of it, honestly.
Well, there's another quote I really like. It's, you have two lives, and the second life only begins when you realise you actually only have one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm so pleased that you're making the most of it.
Yeah, honestly, mate, wouldn't turn the clock back.
Yeah, and thank you so much for sharing your story.
Not a problem at all. You made me open up. So, yeah, you did, Dom. So thanks.
Well, I appreciate it. Now I'm going to take you back to the airport, and let's hope the plane has two wings. What's your thing about wings and flying?
I might only have one wing, but I can still fly.
Well, let's hope the plane has two bloody wings.
I'm sure it will do.
Shaz Dagg from Fielding, Limitless. All the best for the future, coast to coast,
thanks.
Lake Taupo, and whatever challenges you cook up next, and I'm sure there's going to be many.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks so much, Dom. It's been a pleasure to be here. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Shaz Dagg! No doubt about it, a bit of a dag. I really hope you enjoyed that. It's a true pleasure to introduce you guys to people that you may not have heard of, or maybe you've heard a little bit about, and I feel like Shaz fits into that category, and it's a wonderful opportunity to shine a light on her, what she's done and what she's doing. She's a cool chick doing big things. If you've got any feedback about the podcast or future guest suggestions or anything like that, you can message me anytime you want. domharveynz@gmail.com. means so much when people do that. Or domharveynz on Instagram. That's my Instagram handle. Just before we leave for today, thank you very much to the sponsors of this episode who made it possible to fly Shaz up just for this interview. Generate KiwiSaver and Radix Nutrition. Generate is an award-winning, New Zealand-owned and operated KiwiSaver provider with a track record of strong long-term performance. I switched over to Generate a few weeks ago and it could not have been easier. The advisors are great and they will dumb down the chat for you if they need to. And for me, there was a considerable amount of dumbing down. And Radix Nutrition, my day ones. This is a tight, dedicated, hardworking, focused team who make incredible products from their factory in the Waikato, including the best protein powder I've ever tasted. Chances are you don't get enough protein in your diet, and the easiest way to fix that is to have a protein shake every damn day. It's how I start the day. It's breakfast every day. Radix, couple of ice cubes, bit of milk, and away we go. If you like this podcast, the best thing you could do would be consider supporting the guys who support the podcast. So that's Generate KiwiSaver. You can find them at generatewealth.co.nz or Radix Nutrition. You can find them online, radixnutrition.co.nz, and that's spelled R-A-D-I-X. Again, thank you so much. Appreciate you. Appreciate you being here, and hope to see you next week on the Dom Harvey Podcast. See ya.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.